Good morning. Start off just with a number of announcements. This evening, our evening reflection will be taken in Gardenmoor Presbyterian Church by Gareth Keaveney, their assistant. It will be on YouTube. So if you just go onto YouTube and type in Gardenmoor Presbyterian Church, it will be there, and it's at 6:30. Our midweek prayer meeting will be taking place on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Following this morning's service, please don't wait for me to go to the door. I won't be doing that, so don't be waiting. And John, our stewards, will direct you out as you're to leave. Ben is currently on holiday at the moment, and anyone at this time who needs the service of a minister, please either contact John Dundee, our clerk of session, your ruling elder, or myself. These are all the announcements. However, it is with deep regret that we do need to announce today the death of Mrs. Chrissy Mackay, formerly of Kylemore Gardens. Mrs. Mackay's funeral took place yesterday outside her home, which was followed by committal in Glenarm. As a congregation, we offer our prayers and deepest sympathies to her sons, Trevor, Gordon and Colin, and the whole family at this time. We have gathered to worship God. Our call to worship this morning is found from God's Word, the Bible. In Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12, we read, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." Amen. We stand to praise God by using the words of Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty.
Oh,
continue to worship God, let us all pray. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Holy Trinity, perfect in power, in love and purity, you are only holy. There is none other beside you. And we as your covenant people this morning come to worship you, the one who is perfect in power, in love and purity. And Father, it is our prayer today that by your pardoning and sovereign grace, that you would create within us a clean heart. Father, may we, your covenant people, continue to know the joy of your salvation. May we continue to know the joy of your Holy Spirit residing within us. Father, we want to thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between man and God. Father, we want to thank you that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the only one who can deal with our sin, the fallenness of man. And Father, this morning we're going to see from your word how essential it was for that one for all time atoning sacrifice for sin on Calvary's tree. We thank and praise you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, took on human flesh and dwelt among us. The lawmaker came and lived out the full law of God in perfect obedience. And Father, we want to thank you that it's through he who was sinless, it's through him that he became sin for us. And Father, we want to thank you it's through him that we have received a pardon from our sins, that we're justified, and we know peace with you as our God. Father, we are a sinful people who fall short of your glory each and every day of our lives, in thought, deed, and action. Father, our hearts are crooked and our mouths are deceitful. Lord, this week, each and every one of us in this meeting house and those listening online as well will have said things that were untrue, will have said things that were unnecessary, will have said things that will have caused hurt and pain. Father, we realize that with our tongues we bless you, but also with our tongues we curse man. Father, forgive us for these our sins. We praise and thank you that your word promises us that you're faithful and just to forgive those who confess their sin to you. Father, as we turn to your word, as we've already read it, and we're going to read it again, and as we hear it proclaimed, we would pray, Father, that you would speak to us today through the reading and proclamation of your word. Father, we want to thank you that you use your word to persuade and convince us of our need of Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that you use your word to teach, to correct, to rebuke, and to train us in the ways of righteousness. Father, may we hear you, the living God, convicting us of our sin today and pointing us to the wonderful Savior that there is in Jesus Christ alone. We pray these things now in and through his name. Amen. We're going to be continuing our readings this morning in the book of Isaiah. If you would turn, please, in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to read together verses 3 to 12. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. We're going to be reading of the Lord's judgment on the people of Israel. He speaks here of Israel as his vineyard. This is God's holy and infallible word. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do to my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it to waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field, until there is no more room, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. The Lord of hosts has sworn in my hearing, surely many houses shall be desolated, large and beautiful houses without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield but one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield but an ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may run after their strong drink, who tarry late into the evening, as wine inflames them. They have lyre and harp, tambourine and flute and wine at their feast. But they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, or see the works of his hands. Amen. Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's great to see some of you here and also to know that some of you are joining us online. Boys and girls, this morning, I wonder, do you ever tell lies? This morning, we're going to see from God's word how Peter denies Jesus. Peter denied the truth. He denied that he was a follower of Jesus. Boys and girls, here's the reality. We all tell lies. Believe it or believe it not, I even tell lies. Boys and girls, sometimes Rachel will go into the cupboard and this is what she'll find. Her favourite bar of chocolate, but it's lying empty. And she comes to me and she goes, "Have you ate the rest of my chocolate?" And I say, "No." And then she tells me, "Who are you kidding? Have you took a look in the mirror recently?" But you know, Rachel also tells lies at times. Boys and girls, this is our remote control for the gas, heating, and water. And at times she comes in to study me and she goes, "It isn't working again." And I say, "Did you drop it again?" No, I didn't drop it. But the truth of the matter is, she does. The boys and girls, Abigail, even at her young age, tells lies. Boys and girls, there's times Abigail comes to me and she goes, "Boo boo, boo boo." And what she's looking for is her dummy. But she has her dummy. What she's really looking for is my attention. Boys and girls, our mouths are deceitful. They tell lies. We have crooked hearts. Boys and girls, when we look to the Bible and read the gospel accounts and we look to Peter, you really think Peter is this great godly man, a man of faith. But here we see at Jesus' trial, he denies the Lord, just like the Lord foretold that he would do. He denies him 3 times. Boys and girls, that's why Jesus' death on the cross was so important. Because we are sinners. And our sin needed dealt with. An atoning sacrifice needed to be made for our sin. And it had to be someone who was sinless. The Bible tells us there's only one who has ever lived who is sinless. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, let's turn with Mum and Dad to our Bibles once again. And we're going to read together Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. We'll read this account of Peter's denying Jesus. Let's hear God speak to us from his word. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I don't know what you mean." When he went out to the entrance another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Amen. With our Bibles open, let's consider this text together. And what we're going to see this morning from this text is that we, with Peter, need Jesus' substitutionary death to deal with our brokenness. I wonder, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've said to someone, "No matter what happens, no matter what happens, you have my word, that will not be the end result"? Is that not what Peter told Jesus? When Jesus foretold Peter that he would deny him three times before the rooster crows, Peter told Jesus, "There is no way that will be the end result." In verse 35 of Matthew chapter 26, Peter says, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." However, from our text this morning, we shall see what Jesus foretells becomes a reality. Peter, within hours of claiming that he would not deny the Lord, has in fact denied Jesus three times. This morning we're going to see how Peter sins. He tells lies. He denies being one of Jesus' followers. Peter, who had spent the last 3 years of his life with the Lord, now turns round and denies the fact that he even knows him. He calls him just a man. Jesus has treated Peter as a friend. Peter has experienced Jesus' ministry, but Peter, in fact, denies knowing him. Peter, in fact, was a coward. Peter was a disciple who always came across as strong and courageous. He was often so outspoken. To hear him, you would have thought that he was one of Jesus' true followers. He actually was his number one follower. He was even the one who cut off the high priest's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. But when Peter got his chance to speak up for the Lord, he denied him. Peter had a problem. Peter's problem was that his religion up to this moment had been simply carried out by his own strength and efforts. Peter's not experienced God's grace and mercy dealing with his sin and brokenness. Peter was not interested in Jesus going to the cross to lay down his life for the sins of his people. Peter had not grasped God's salvation plan for his people. But the reality is that it's only through Jesus' substitutionary death that Peter's sins and our sin can be dealt with. Why is it that all four gospel accounts record for us the events of Peter's humiliating denial of Jesus? If Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers, is guilty of sin, if Peter is in need of God's repentance, then surely we are as well. We, like Peter, are guilty of sinning against God. We, like Peter, need to receive forgiveness for our sins. We, like Peter, need to come by faith and repentance to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It's only through Christ that our sin and our rebellion can be dealt with. We, with Peter, need Jesus' substitutionary death to deal with our brokenness. Let's consider the text and then its application. It's important to point out that Peter's denial of Jesus came as no surprise to Jesus. He has foretold it. God is seeking to fulfill his sovereign will in Peter's life. Peter's denial of Jesus was allowed to happen. Peter was fully responsible for his feeling, for his guilt, for his sin. Jesus allowed Peter to in fact deny him. In Luke's account of these events in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Jesus is telling Simon Peter that Satan has asked for permission to trouble him, to test Peter, to see, are you like wheat or the chaff that the wind blows wherever it takes it? What Jesus is saying to Peter is a warning for all the disciples. Jesus is warning Peter and the disciples, Satan's desire is to prove that you 12 are just a band of hypocrites, especially you, Peter. Jesus is telling Peter, Satan's desire is that you will turn your back on me. But here's Peter's thinking. Peter's thinking is that he's strong enough in and of himself to stand the test of Satan. Listen to what Peter says in Luke chapter 22, verse 33. "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." We with Peter need Jesus' substitutionary death to deal with our brokenness. From Matthew chapter 26 and verse 58, we see whose company Peter is with, which leads to his first denial. Jesus has been seized and has been taken to Caiaphas, the high priest, to be tried. Verse 58 tells us that the brave and outspoken Peter followed at a distance. Peter followed Jesus to the courtyard of the high priest. And who is it that Peter sits with as Jesus is on trial? Peter sat with the guards. Where was Peter when Jesus was needing witnesses to speak on his behalf at the trial? He was sitting among the guards, those who had in fact seized Jesus. Verse 69 informs us that Peter was sitting with the guards in the courtyard. And as he was doing this, one of the high priest's servants' girls comes to Peter and says, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." The servant girl most likely had her suspicions about Peter for a couple of reasons. Peter was most likely anxious and nervous about being there. Peter now knew that this situation was extremely serious. Also, the only reason Peter got inside the high priest's palace is because another disciple, most likely John, had asked the servant girl to let him in. We see that in John chapter 18, verse 16. The servant girl knew Peter was with the other disciple. So this servant girl, with her suspicions, confronts Peter. "You also were with Jesus, the Galilean." And how does Peter respond to her accusation? Here is Peter's first opportunity to proclaim his loyalty to Christ. So what does he say? In verse 70, we see that Peter says to the servant girl, "I don't know what you're talking about." Here we see Peter pretends that he did not understand what or who the girl is talking about. Peter most likely was taken back by this servant girl's boldness. Her challenge would have been unexpected. This servant girl was the low of the lowest in society, and she has just floored Peter. The bold Peter, who had promised Jesus, "I will be loyal, I will never deny you," has just done the very thing he said he would never do. From verse 71, we see a frightened Peter heads for the exit. Peter wants out of there before he is confronted again. We see from the text, as he heads for the exit, another servant girl says out loud to all the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter now has his second opportunity to proclaim his loyalty to Christ. So what does he have to say for himself? In verse 72, we see once again that Jesus denies the girl's accusation. However, this time he denies it much stronger by making an oath. Peter is frustrated, and in his frustration he tells the bystanders, "As God is my witness, I do not know this man that you speak of." Peter speaks of Jesus as if he was, in fact, a total stranger. But the text tells us that this is not the end of the matter. Verse 73 tells us that after a while, Luke chapter 22, verse 59 tells us that the while was an hour. Throughout this hour, the word would have been spreading like wildfire round the bystanders, round all those in that courtyard, round the fire, that they think one of Jesus' disciples is here, is present. We see the text tells us then that the bystanders come up to Jesus once again and say to him, "We have got you now. Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." What they were saying to Peter was, "Peter, who on earth do you think you're kidding? We know you're one of Jesus' followers, as you are a Galilean. Your brogue identifies you as a Galilean. You are definitely one of his disciples." John's gospel account tells us that at this stage, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off said to Peter, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" You see this in John chapter 18, verses 26 to 27. This is Peter's now third opportunity to proclaim his loyalty to Christ. But from verse 74, we see that Peter loses all control. He denies knowing Jesus all the more forcefully. The text tells us that he began to invoke a curse onto himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." Peter would have said something along the lines, "May God do this or that to me if it be true that I am a disciple of Jesus." All those who stood around with Peter listening to him knew he in fact was a liar. Verse 74 tells us that at that very moment the rooster crowed. In Luke 22 verse 61 we read then, "As soon as all this took place the rooster crowed." And what happened? The Lord Jesus in his trial turned his face round and he looked straight into Peter's eyes. And verse 75 tells us how Peter responded to the rooster crowing. Peter remembered what Jesus had told him. He knew now that Jesus was right the whole time. The text tells us that Peter went out from the courtyard crying uncontrollably as he had realized what in fact he had just done. He had denied his Lord. Peter was full of sorrow for what he had just done. As Jesus turned his face to Peter as the rooster crowed, Peter saw the pardoning grace of the Savior of the world, who had in fact came to be Peter's rescuer. Peter would have saw the Lord's face covered in spit. He would have saw it bruised by the blows that he would have received. As Peter left the high priest's palace, he knew he was a man with a crooked heart and a deceitful mouth. He knew he was guilty of sinning against the eternal God in human flesh. He knew that in his own strength, he could never fulfill God's will for his life. In his moment of weakness, in his moment of despair, of uncontrollable crying, God became Peter's strength. God was not finished with Peter. God had a perfect plan for Peter's life. We read of how Jesus recommissions Peter in John chapter 21. Jesus calls Peter to feed his sheep. When Jesus looked at Peter, Jesus loved Peter. The courtyard was not the end for Peter. God used Peter for his glory and for the advancement of his church. We with Peter need Jesus' substitutionary death to deal with our brokenness. Today, how are we to apply this passage to our lives? This week, as I have spent time in this passage, I have been reminded how essential Jesus' substitutionary death was to deal with your and my sin. As you read the gospel accounts and you consider the character of Peter, you think there's a godly man. You think there's a man of faith. When Jesus commanded him on the Sea of Galilee to get out of the boat and walk to him, Peter did so. He was always so outspoken. He was bold. He even claimed he was willing to die for the Lord. But when the rubber hits the road, Peter was a sinful man, just like you and I. Peter said, "I will never deny you, Lord." Well, Peter has been given the opportunity to prove that. And when the opportunity came, Peter failed. Why was it that Peter denied the Lord? Peter denied Jesus because he, in fact, was not the Lord's. God gives Satan the opportunity to test Peter. Peter, in fear of his own life, surrounded by the enemies of Jesus, denied the Savior. Peter, all of a sudden, was no longer the big lad. Peter lied. He was a coward. As the temperature rose in that courtyard, Peter wanted to do a runner. Satan had sifted Peter, and Peter was found to be a hypocrite. Up to this point in time, Peter had really only been following Jesus at a distance. Peter sought to follow the Lord in his own strength. Peter thought that in and of himself he could follow the Lord faithfully. Peter, through his own efforts and his own outspoken loyalty, he thought that was all that was going to be necessary. You know, men, women, this morning, congregation, boys and girls, the reality was that Peter and we have denied the Lord of his rightful place within our lives from the very moment we have been conceived in our mother's womb. In our sin, we have denied the Lord. We, like Peter, have fallen short of the glory of God. We, like Peter, have crooked hearts and a deceitful mouth. But as the rooster crowed, God in his grace and mercy comes to Peter's rescue. At that moment, Jesus was praying for Peter. At that moment, God revealed to Peter that he was a sinner who deserved nothing more than God's wrath. At that moment, Peter knew he needed his sins forgiven. At that moment, Peter knew he could not live out his life for the glory of God in his own strength by his own efforts. At that moment, Peter realized what he has just done. He has denied the Lord. Peter needed a rescuer. Peter needed the Lord's forgiveness, and so do we. Peter's rescuer was the man who he has just denied. Peter's rescuer also needs to be your and my rescuer. The reason Jesus' substitutionary death was essential is we and Peter need to be rescued from our sinful nature. We are a fallen people who cannot save ourselves. We are a people who cannot fulfill the law of God in our own strength, by our own efforts in our lives. Peter and we need to receive God's pardoning grace. The only way we can receive God's pardoning grace is through Christ's law-fulfilled life and his atoning death. The scriptures tell us that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between man and God. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. It's through God's grace by faith, through Christ, that we as sinful people can be pardoned of our sins. Christ's one for all time death deals with our sin and rebellion. Today, are you continuing to deny the Lord? Or is God in his grace, according to his providential will, opening your heart to the reality of your need of salvation? Only Christ can satisfy the wrath of God for your and my sin. And today, if God is enabling you to respond to the message of the gospel, come to Christ. We, with Peter, need Jesus' substitutionary death to deal with our brokenness. Believers, we head out into a new week. May we, as God's people, never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us, as the people of God, to honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always been prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. May we, by God's grace, be faithful to such a task. Amen. We'll stand and sing our closing item of praise, Psalm 51, verses 1 to 9. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.